Colors of Beauty Shop.
I'm Emma.
I'm Jesse.
I'm Tyler.
Today we're going to be talking about the Monk. So what's your general consensus on the Monk? Let's start with that.
Oh, me is a hit character. Monk in combat, basically. Smash, punch,
what
eat my butt character.
I like the flavor of it. What's your general feeling on it? What makes it different than the other combat classes?
The combat classes are all about, you know, like, hacking and slashing with, like, big swords and axes and such. Like, they have... Well, monks are more of, like, how they do their damage. It's not that they're, like, super strong or they just, like, know how to, like, use your weapons and fists to do the maximum amount of damage.
Yeah. Well, and I didn't really play them. I think I played a monk once before, like, years and years ago in like, second edition. And so, to really, for me, the monk was kind of different. I liked that there was actually a lot more to it than just the punch, hit stuff. But there's still quite a bit of that still.
Punch, hit.
It really is where it shines, is in combat. So we'll go over the player's handbook, kind of clip note version. Monks use a special energy that most monastic traditions call ki. This energy is the element that flows through living bodies. Monks use this to create magical effects and do superhuman stunts. And some of their special attacks can mess up the ki in their foes. They mostly use this to power up their unarmed strikes or their monk weapons.
I didn't do anything.
So we'll get into their proficiencies. Armor, none, is because this class isn't meant to wear armor. If you're wearing armor as a monk, you're doing it wrong.
Simple weapons or short swords. I don't know why they add short swords.
I think it's because some people were like, who have a ninja style.
Okay.
I think monk. But these are what they consider monk weapons. You know, obviously these two things are combat related almost entirely. Next is tools. You either choose one type of artisan tools or one musical instrument, you know, because you're cultured.
Yeah.
I think that this is where it kind of gets into the exploration and social aspects of the monk. You can kind of try to go either way on that one. Saving throws are strength and dexterity.
Which, I understand dexterity, but strength is...
Well, because while they don't have traditionally high strength scores, or they don't rely on their strength, they have a certain amount of superhuman strength. They can tap into extra strength that they don't normally have. Yeah, I think is the idea.
Why don't they have, like, wisdom?
You know, I'm with you. It is a little weird, but maybe they wanted to spread them out a little bit. Maybe I don't know. Yeah. Now, strength isn't a commonly used one. You get that with grappling, and that's probably primarily why the monk has it, because they have to do strength checks or strength. But that's mostly strength checks, not strength saving throws. But basically, so they don't have to be, so they can't be grappled by monsters. I don't know.
Anyway.
But dexterity is really useful. It's one of the most common saving throws. So
yeah, dexterity, that makes it so much better.
And in not just in combat, but actually with traps as well. So it's not just a combat saving throw. They get the skills they get to choose from. They get to choose two from acrobatics, athletics, history, insight, religion, and stealth. Acrobatics and athletics are obviously combat ones with a little bit of exploration in there.
History, insight, and religion are very role play based.
Yeah, I mean, But with, I would say insights are primarily a social one, of course.
Yeah.
With the exploration being more history, religion, and stuff. I mean, you can, obviously there's moments when that bleeds into social interaction.
Yeah, history, religion, can also be interaction.
Yeah.
Do you have anything to say about
I'm having a great time. Are there any skills you think that they should have had in the book that they didn't? Especially for social stuff? No?
I think perception should have.
You know, I think perception would have been pretty applicable for a book.
I thought they already had perception.
No, they don't.
Obviously, I've never played a monk.
Yeah.
This is me, you've never played a monk.
I think investigation would have been a pretty okay one for them to have a choice from as well.
Oh, did we do hit points yet?
Oh, no, I didn't have those on my notes. So what are their hit points?
So they get 1d8 for monk level.
Okay. Yeah. So they use a d8 hit die then?
Yeah.
Okay.
D8 hit die.
Alright. So, next we'll go over their class abilities. There are just a bunch of these. Like, some classes have some, but man, these are a lot.
Yeah, okay, well, let's start with the most interesting one. Unarmored defense. Being at first level, where you are wearing no armor and not wearing a shield, your AC equals 10 plus your dexterity modifier plus your movement modifier.
And just to save ourselves time, we're just going to assume you're not wearing armor for any of these abilities because most of them don't work if you're wearing armor. So, if you want to wear armor as a monk, you should probably
talk to your DM
and figure out how many of your abilities are basically not going to be usable.
Which is most of them.
I like the unarmored defense because it's not just good for combat. That's where it's supposed to come up, but actually in a role-playing setting, it's really good because you don't walk through town in plate mail. Right? Like, you can, but it's going to be intimidating. People are going to, be off-putting. So, the monk can basically just stroll into town, look like a dirty old urchin or whatever, a noble person, whatever they want to look like. They go into town, and, they don't give away that they're a combat person. So, they can catch their opponents off guard, and there's just a lot of advantage to being armor. I actually prefer characters that are unarmored most of the time myself. So, I don't know why I don't play this class more often, to be honest.
I know, it seems like class you love.
Yeah, it does. So next up we have the martial arts. These are using your unarmed strikes or your monk weapons. The big thing is you can use your dex bonus instead of your strength bonus, so you don't, like we were talking before, you don't really have to pump a lot into your strength when it comes to a monk. You can focus on the dexterity to make them the best combat monkey. And then you can swap out your martial arts die, which levels up as you go. It starts off at a D4, but eventually by level 17, it's a D10. And you can use that die in place of the normal damage for your unarmed strikes and any of your monk weapons, which is mostly the simple melee weapons. So that's kind of nice. Like, if you're using a short sword, that's usually a D6. Well, by level 17, you can roll a D10 for a short sword. I mean, that's pretty impressive. So, and then when you use your attack action, you gain the bonus action of using an unarmed strike with your off hit. So
this is all first level?
I've
been with you for a while, folks.
Yeah, that's why I said it. There you go. One of the things I do like that they throw into the description of the monk is that some monasteries have specialized names and designs for their weapons. Like, you might have a short sword that's called a comma instead because it looks a little different. I think it's a sickle, never mind. But instead of a club, you could have a nunchuck, things like that. They work basically the same, but they could be different, which could bring up some cool, social interaction with people. Like, that's an interesting weapon. I've never seen it before. where are you from? And, you know, things like that. So I like that little thing they threw in there. I like when they give you little story tips in the book. All right, so now moving on to level two. That was all level one. Level two, you can probably start using your ki. I know that some people call it chi and stuff like that, but we're going to say ki for the sake of this.
Or let me do it, please. We're doing not know.
All right, yeah, you go ahead.
During a second level, your training allows you to harness the mystical or the mystic energy of ki. Your access to energy is represented by a number of ki points. Your monk level determines the number of points you have, and the number of ki points you have is equal to your monk level.
Yeah. Which is, like, I had to read that a couple of times before I understood that. A yeah. Big thing about that I noticed is that they replenish when you have a short rest or a long rest.
Yeah.
So, if you're a monk, you're going to be doing a lot more short resting.
Or, and you can spend these points to fuel various key features. You start with 30 blows, patient defense, and step of the wind. And you gain more key features as you level up, of course. And when you spend a key point, it's unavailable and sufficient. Short or long rest, at the end of which you draw on all your key back into yourself, and with the experiment of the rest meditating to redeem your key points. And then some of your key features require, saving throws to resist effects. And saving DC is 8 plus your proficiency bonus plus your wisdom modifier.
Oh, okay. I actually was not going to get so crunchy on that, but that's not a problem.
Oh, it's am I going to death?
I don't know. I'm not really sure, to be honest. So, let's go with the Flurry of Blows. So, this is pretty much the primary combat ability that you use your key for. Is you make you spend 1 point, and when you make an attack, you can do 2 unarmed strikes with your bonus action instead of 1. And then most of your subclasses throw like an ability on top of your Flurry of Blows to kind of like make it even better. So your monastic tradition is going to flavor that Flurry of Blows a little differently. Patient defense I really like. This one lets you take a dodge action as a bonus action on your turn for 1 key. These all take 1 key point. I don't know why they specify. In combat, this makes you really hard to hit, giving your opponents disadvantage to attack rolls to hit you, which is quite good. And if you have multiple foes, that's really good too.
Yeah.
And you get advantage on dex saves, which is also very useful in combat. I think I would talk to my DM too. I think that you should be able to use this as a reaction, not as a bonus action, when it comes to traps. To get an advantage on your deck saves.
Oh, patient defense?
Yeah, patient defense. I think that's applicable. Or, at the very least, then you should at least use it as a bonus action if you're going, you know how, in some movies where they have the rooms where they have the swinging guillotines and you gotta go through the room with the arrows that fly by and stuff like that. Yeah, you definitely want to trigger it then before you went into that death trap. And you'd have a better chance of not being dead. So that's fine.
No, you're dead.
Not dead. And then Step of the Wind is you get to spend a key point to change your bonus action to disengage or dash. These don't really cost an action. So, and also the big thing that they do is it lets you double your jump distance for a turn. So you can use this outside of combat quite a bit too. So, because like, our last game session, I brought up that if you have dash as a bonus action, you can basically triple your speed through your turn. You can use your regular action to dash, your bonus action to dash, and then you can use your regular movement, and you can move 3 times as fast.
Yeah.
And with, you know, being a monk, that's a lot of speed, actually. We'll get to that in a minute. So, speaking of which.
Yeah. On our movement, starting at 6th level, your speed increases by 10 while you're not wearing any armor, moving shield, and it increases when you level up.
Yeah, and to save ourselves some time describing this later, it's going to go up throughout the your levels. But basically, by the time you get to level 18, your speed will increase by 30 feet. So normal regular human 30 feet. By the time you're level 18 as a monk, you'd have 60 feet of movement.
Increases every four levels. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, second through five, six through nine. Yeah, every four levels. Yeah.
And the coolest one is at level 9. I know this is kind of jumping ahead, but at level 9, you get to go to run up walls and to like run across water.
Yeah.
Which is just cool. I don't care anymore. That's cool. So, then our new optional feature that's in Tasha's is the dedicated weapon. Do you want to talk about that one?
No, I was thinking about Tasha's.
Oh, yeah, we're definitely talking Tasha's.
Extra long.
Yeah, we're definitely talking Tasha's. Yeah, that's the problem. Tasha's added four more abilities for monks. And this is the first one.
Hey, cool, Tasha's.
Dedicated weapon. Basically, you can change a martial arts martial weapon that you have proficiency in into a monk weapon, you know, for the purposes of your martial arts and things like that. You can change this after a short or a long rest. You can just keep it going if you don't change it. You probably have this proficiency from a racial trait. You might have it from a multi-class. I looked at the wording a few times and I couldn't verify. I haven't seen any questions, but I think it might apply to range weapons too. Because it doesn't say it has to be a melee weapon. It just says it has to be a simple or ranged weapon.
Yeah.
And why would they specify simple, since simple weapons are by default monk weapons, if they didn't mean you could use ranged ones? The simple melee weapons are monk weapons. So, I don't know.
You know, heck, even the description of dedicated weapon even says, train yourself to use a variety of weapons, not just simple melee weapons and swords.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just...
Yeah, I think you can use long range.
Yeah. But I think this is... I think that one of the main things that came out of it was, A, if you want to use ranged weapons, but also, if you're an elf, you know, you get short sword and long sword and short bow and long bow proficiencies, yeah, for example. So, you know, you could use a long sword as a monk weapon, which should be really powerful. For a little while until you get your short side up. If you're a dwarf, you know, don't you get like axe or something like that? I think it's axe or hammer or something. You get as a racial feat.
Yeah, like a long sword.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's it lets you flavor your character basically how you want. That's how I see it, mostly being a flavor thing.
Yeah.
Without having to necessarily go into the way of the way of Kensei, where you get to choose different weapons.
Yeah, this seems like something that before Tasha's, you have to, like, beg your DM, like, can I have monkey use a ranged weapon?
Yeah, it's like, I really just want to use my boomerang. Yeah. You know? I mean, you just really want to be like Sokka.
Okay. So next is...
Level 3. Yeah.
At level 3, you get your monastic tradition, and then you're a late
time. There's a ton of those. We won't really go into that. We're going to go over 3 of them later, but we'll skip that for now. You want to do the blood missiles?
Sure. Starting at level 3, you use your reactions to fight your attachment souls, missiles. You're hit by a ranged weapon attack. When you do so, the damage you take from these attacks is reduced by 1d10 plus your dexterity modifier plus your monk weapon. If you reduce the damage to 0, you catch a missile if it's small enough for you to hold in one hand and have at least 1d10 free. If you cast a missile in this way, you spend 1 key point to make a ranged attack with the weapon or piece of ammunition you've got as part of the same reaction. Make this attack with proficiency regardless of your weapon. And the missile counts as a monk weapon for the attack. So the normal range is 20 feet, and a long range is 60 feet.
Exactly. And like one of the things that I noticed in particular was you don't spend the key point unless you actually want to throw it back.
Yeah.
So this is just a reaction you can do all the time as a monk. to reduce damage from long range weapons.
Yeah, and if you're like high level, long range weapons, it's like basically can't harm you.
Yeah, I mean it's a really powerful move there. I kind of like that. Then a new optional feature at Sintash's is the key fueled attack. Basically, when you use a key point for an attack that you can use your monk weapon instead of your unarmed strike as a bonus action. So that confused me. So basically, when the way it was set up before is, I would say I had a monk who used a quarterstaff and their fist, right? I would hit with my quarterstaff and I could use my unarmed strike as a bonus action. Use twice if I use flurry of blows, right? But if I use flurry of blows, like, or a special kind of monk ability or whatever that used the unarmed strike, I couldn't use my monk weapon as a bonus action. You can only use unarmed strikes as bonus actions. But okay. This changes up so that you can use your monk unarmed strikes with using some kind of key, you know, points or whatever to power it up, and then use your quarterstaff afterwards to whack some over the head. It's a small change. You'll notice that a lot of these new Tasha's features are very minor. They just kind of make the monk a little bit better, but not, they don't break anything, which is probably good. The next level, there'll be one that actually, I think, makes a big difference. So speaking of which, level 4, versus ability score improvement, every class gets this at level 4, except for fighters, they get different, you get more of them. So we'll just skip that, everyone knows what that is. Then there's Slowfall. Slowfall reduces falling damage by 5 times your monk level. It's a good reaction in combat if you happen to be like fighting on pillars or something like that and you're doing some crazy stunt like Xena or Hercules, they did that kind of stuff all the time. It's obviously great for exploration. I cannot remember who I was watching, but they had pointed out once you get to high enough levels, you can basically just fall whenever you want.
Yeah, level 20, 100 feet, you're fine.
Yeah, because I think it's like the highest damage diet is like 60-10 from falling. So, like, you can never do enough damage to matter, so you can just fall wherever you want. Just fall off this cliff, no big deal. and if you have enough movement, you can just run up back up the cliff, too. at level 9. So, monks are crazy.
Alright,
so on that note, it is time for a break. We'll see you guys in a minute. Alright. Welcome to Realms of Peril and Glory, an all-new actual play podcast.
There are guided tours once a week! Come on, Dark Brennan!
How about you, you filthy timepiece?
RPG is home to hilarious stories.
The thing that kicks off a really good tale is,
when they take their tops off.
Sorry?
When you're reading, like, don't worry.
And thrilling adventures.
There's bad guys, there's an ogre. Probably best if you stay here. Sorry, I'll be back soon.
Why am I tied up?
That was your sibling, not me. Bye.
Each season is an all-new actual play story told collaboratively at the table, featuring guest players from the Magnus Archives.
I remember being in the water, and that was awful, and now I'm not in the water, and that's much better.
Wooden overcoats.
I am a snowman. I have one job, and that is to stand in place. I was doing that very well.
Yes, and she might come back 9 times more powerful with lots of food and kippers.
We fix space junk.
On the surface, you might look different, but you're very, very similar inside. And I can vouch for that.
And more.
What I am about to tell you stays in this room. Got it?
Don't happen know where there's, like, secret plans about meat and smoothies.
Ducks! Did you say ducks? Did you say duck?
You can find Realms of Peril and Glory wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're gonna have a good laugh, then we're gonna possibly cry, and then we'll grab dinner.
Hello and welcome to the Shameless Plug Break, where we plug our stuff. So, you can find us on Twitter at OurDorky. You can use hashtags ThreePillarCast to talk about the show on Twitter.
And
on Instagram as well. Of course, you know, at Dorky to talk to us on Twitter. And then on Instagram is OurDorkyFamily. We have an email. It's OurDorkyFamily@gmail.com.
Ask questions, send art, or if you have anything.
Yeah, pretty much.
Not anything.
Well, okay. Fair enough. But anything D&D related. And then...
You like conversations. Again, not anything.
But if you do have any, especially if you do have any questions about D&D and the cast in general, or you want to, you know, try to bring it up in the show, we'd love to, actually. It'd be great.
especially if you have questions about a certain class that we've done. Email questions.
Exactly.
Because we ask terrible ones.
And, yes, that's pretty much everything. Oh, yeah, we also have a... Our Dorky D&D is found on our YouTube channel, Our Dorky Family.
Yes.
You can watch us play D&D, basically. So it's kind of fun. Currently up is Emma's campaign that she's been running at New Olympia. It's pretty fun. We did finish that one. So if you go to, if you keep up with it, you'll actually get to see it start to finish on that.
Yeah.
So, alrighty.
It's yay.
Yeah.
Yay.
All right.
Yay.
Go. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye. End the break.
All right. All right, everybody. We're back from our break. Where we left off, we were in level 4 abilities. The last one is also a new Tasha's ability called Quickened Healing. Yeah, so it uses 2 key points. It's the first one to actually use 2. Mm-hmm. And you basically get to roll your martial arts die plus your proficiency bonus. It counts as an action. Obviously, this is combat related again, but like most of the abilities. But, you know, if you're like a monk exploring a dangerous cavern or secret forest or whatever by yourself, ability to heal yourself is going to make a big difference.
Yeah, okay.
So, I mean, that's, I think this is actually one of the best new abilities that they added.
Usually 2 key points, and even at level 17, it's only a maximum of, 2 key points?
Yeah, it's not a lot, but it's enough to keep get you past the, you know, another round of combat, you know, past the bad situation. It's not a lot.
Yeah.
No, but it's something. At lower levels, I think it's more effective. Or, you know, it means a lot more.
Let's see, at level 4 when you get it, you only... Let's see, what your key point should be... Yeah, you have 4 key points, your martial arts die still D4, and your proficiency bonus will increase. Yeah. So at level 4 when you get it, it's not that good for you. That'll get a big bump at level 5, though.
Yeah, so it bumps up at level 5. Like, a lot of combat quests bump up at level 5. Speaking of which, level 5.
Hi! The extra attack.
Yeah, like most martial classes, level 5 is when you get your extra attack. This is, of course, when you get really a little more powerful, honestly. Not a whole lot more with the monk, because you don't get any more bonus actions. You know, you just get an extra attack. So, you get to whack him one more time.
Then, because I only got to say extra attack, Stunning Strike. Starting at this level, you can interfere with the flow of ki in opponent's body. When you hit another creature with a melee weapon attack, you spend 1 ki point to attempt a Stunning Strike. The target must succeed Constitution saving throw or be stunned until the next. To the end of your next turn.
So, this is one of those attacks that you would say use your key field attack from level 3, that Intoxic's ability, because you want to stun him first and then whack him with your monk weapon. So this would be one of those. And if you want a good example in media of the Stunning Strike, think of Ty Lee in Avatar The Last Airbender.
Yeah.
She's basically doing the Stunning Strike. Like, that's her main move. So, that's a good visual. Ty Lee's monk
confirmed.
Yeah. But, you know, then she teaches the Kiyoshi, the Warriors of Kiyoshi, that at the end of the show.
Anyway.
Yeah, anyway. And then there's the last of the new optional features in Tasha's for the monk, which is the focused aim. When you miss, you can spend up to 3 points, increasing your roll by 2 for each point spent in order to plausibly hit what you're trying to hit. That's really good. If you're trying to do a specially called shot, say, with your dedicated short bow weapon as a monk weapon, you try to make a long distance shot, you could make it a lot easier to do that. If you really got to hit that dragon in the face.
Yeah, like, it's the last strike.
Yeah, if you're like, I'm going to dive underneath of this giant and punch him right in the testicles, and you want to make sure you hit.
Or it's when you miss, is that when you
hit? Well, yeah, but I mean, that's what I'm saying, you want to make sure you hit. Mm-hmm. Usually, I'm going to imagine when you do your crazy stuff, you want to go with it.
Oh, yeah. Keypad strike. So at 6th level, your unarmed strike is magical. Well, you know, for the purposes of overcoming resistance and immunity to non-magical attack damage. You know, so like some of those high level monsters.
Yeah.
Have resistance and non-magical attack.
There you go. Level 7, you get evasion. This is just like the rogue ability. When you make dex saves, you only take half, and then when you fail, you take none of the damage when you succeed the saving throw. So you combine that with your dodge one from earlier, the whatever that was called, patient defense. Yeah,
yeah.
And you know that's pretty good. And then you have stillness of the mind as an action. Just decide not to be charmed or frightened. No checks, nothing. You just decide.
Nah, it's like, nah, dude. I don't want it. Not today.
Yeah.
Nah, bro.
Nah, bro. I'm not scared of you.
Nah, not today, Satan.
I think this is a really good ability overall. This is like...
kind of a weird flavor, though.
It is kind of weird one, but it's like... remember how you said that you wondered why they didn't have wisdom saving throws? You know?
Well, because at this level, they basically can't.
Yeah, I mean, so this is pretty good, and this applies to everything. You know, this is a really not just combat ability, so I like that.
Armor move improvement, which, as we already, talked about, gain ability to, cross walls and liquids. Also, that punches rain. Armor movement improvement.
Yeah, movement improvement.
And fury of body. Rules had mastery keep going to be immune to disease and poison.
Nice. Level 13. This is what I think you would enjoy.
Me? A new ship?
Level 13.
Oh, I have to say this. Tongue of the Sun and Moon. You understand all languages, and if they can talk, they understand you. You're essentially a universal translator. This is the most social domain you want to get
it. It wants you to be different, basically.
Yeah, I say things people understand. Not like me in real world. But say things and understand great. I'm having a wonderful time.
She's really smart. I know you can't tell, but she really is.
So tired.
level 14. You get to kind of the point where I don't even most characters even get to level 14, but, level 14, Diamond Soul. You get proficiency with all saving throws, which is just really powerful, and can spend one key point to reroll any saving throw you want. Just one, so.
Yeah.
I mean, it should be pretty obvious at this point that this is useful for all kinds of situations. So, that's how good that one is.
Every single saving throw you have proficiency in.
Yeah.
A level like 20, or plus 6, every single saving throw, and you can re-roll.
Yeah.
Or keep weight.
That's real good. Then, level 15.
Timeless body. At 15th level, the chi sustains you so that you suffer none of the frailty of old age, and you can't be aged magically. You can still die of old age, however. In addition, you no longer need food or water.
No more food or water?
No more food or water. That way you can explore that labyrinth now without having to worry.
Also, I must say, you cannot... Dying of old age is basically dying of frailty. Dying of, you know, organ failure. So, you know.
Yeah, but that's why you basically are immortal, because you will die probably after, what, 1,000 years or something? Because it's going to catch up to you eventually. But, yeah, that's kind of the idea there. It's just like, wow, you live for a long time. And I like that. That really changes the whole scope of the monk at that point. Like, once you get to that power level, you can start making, you know, plans that take decades to accomplish and things like that.
And also gives, like, clears a tangible goal. So for, like, playing, I think it's the Abyss, it's like a 1 to 15 level adventure, which is 1 to 15, if I remember correctly.
I believe so, yeah.
See? Yeah, that's a great goal.
There you go. And then, okay, so level 18, we get into, this one's called Empty Body. You spend 4 key points to become invisible. And have resistance to all but force damage for 1 minute. And bear in mind, this, unlike most of these abilities that say you become invisible, it doesn't say if you hit somebody, you become visible. You just stay invisible for a minute. So you can just turn invisible and beat the crap out of anything you want. And, yeah. I think that's kind of cool. And then you can spend 8 key points to actually project yourself. Can't take any friends, but, you know, if for any reason you're unfamiliar with actual projection, just imagine the Avatar going in the spirit world. That's pretty much what astral projection is.
Yeah, you're the astral plane.
Yeah. And then, you know, so that's obviously going to be a very exploration-based ability. Because I'm not sure if you ever read up on astral plane, astral travel, an astral projection, but if you go to the astral plane, you're connected to your body and everything like that. But if you pass on to another plane after that, your physical body gets teleported to the other plane.
Oh, the astral plane, you can technically live forever, because...
Yeah, time doesn't pass in the astral plane.
Yeah, your body doesn't need food or air to be sustained.
Oh, yeah, because the timeless body, even your body left in the prime... material world will be fine as well.
That's also for the spell. When you are in the astral plane, your body is just like in a state suspended animation.
Yeah, you're just susceptible if someone cuts your silver cord. So that's a big. It's kind of a dangerous way of traveling, but if you can get to another plane after that, like you jump to the celestial realm or something like that, you can just your whole body then teleports there, basically. Which makes you less susceptible. Except you're in a probably super dangerous plane.
And then, perfect self. At level 20, you roll for initiative. You have no key points remaining. You gain 4 key points.
Yep. You just get to kick some more butt.
Which, I kick butt 2 times. I mean, it's good. I mean, no one's actually going to get to level 20. But...
Yeah, there you go. But, you know, it's there. So.
There to exist and do things just to fit. A one shot is fun.
Yeah, it's really. That's a level 20 is for one shot.
Alrighty. So that's the monk. So I know that. So that was, like we said before, that's a combat based class.
Punch, punch, kick, kick.
I mean, to be fair, most classes in D&D are combat based by design. Some just have more of your social and your exploration and stuff in there overall. But a lot of it is, what I like about the monk is the flavor. The flavor really does translate quite well.
I say.
Yeah, you can do a lot with it. Don't underestimate the ability to not have weapons, not have armor, and still be able to kick butt. So, actually, that's when you do your best butt kick. But, so what was your description of combat classes? Butt, butt, kick, kick?
Punch, punch, kick, kick, beat butt.
Oh, yeah. The monks, like, fire and barbarians use, like, giant weapons, and they're, like, big strength. Well, monks, they don't use that much strength, but they can, but, you know, they have perfected the art of punching in the groin. Really hard. Yeah, really hard.
Well, there you go. And that's, a lot of that is, like, how you want to fight. Do you want your monk to use a lot of kicks? Do you want your monk to use a lot of punches? Do you rather them use headbutts on a regular basis? Do you want to mix that up, on, you know, here and there? So either way, that's it for the main class of the monk.
Punch, punch, kick, kick.
Punch, punch, kick, kick. Stay tuned. Next week, we're going to do three of the subclasses. We each made a character for it. And we're going to explain how those work, and we're gonna do one for exploration, one for social interaction, and one for combat. We're gonna try to wrap this up before the children explode. So, see you next time. I'm Jesse.
Punch, punch, kick, kick.
This is Emma. And Tyler says bye.
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 So that now people call that punch, punch, hit, hit.
Yeah.
Top notch.
Punch, punch, hit, hit. All right.
I come up with the weird stuff.
A solid goat monk.
Shut up, keep going.
What's a solid goat monk?
I'm going.
What's an incorporeal goat monk?
Are there
liquid goat monks?
I'm going.
Is this like Metal Gear Solid? Like, there's like liquid goat and like.
I will.
Solid goat.
Your scissors are
big boss goat. I mean.
Boss goat. Shut up, go away.